Hi everyone, this is Diva from Bloodhunter and you're listening to the Metal Pit Podcast.
Welcome to the Metal Pit Podcast. This is where we dive into the albums, bands that made metal what it is today. I'm your host, Blake, and we're going to discuss some legends today. But first, don't forget to visit our website, which is themetalpit.org, and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at The Metal Pit. And for the podcast, we have a website for the podcast, which is themetalpitpodcast.com. And you can follow our podcast on Facebook and Instagram at The Metal Pit Podcast. And we also have a YouTube channel, which is at The Metal Pit 666, where you can listen to audio versions of this podcast. And if you have any comments or you want to give me your top 10 lists from the episode or whatever, email me podcast@themetalpit.org. And for this episode, I have a guest who is from the future because it's Sunday night for me as I'm recording this with a fan of the podcast, Paul from Australia. How are you doing, Paul?
G'day, Blake. Thanks for having me, mate. Long-time listener, first-time podcaster.
That's great. This is our third year. Do you remember when you first listened to our podcast? Was it in the first year?
First season, the Kill 'Em All episode, because that's one of my favorite albums. So I came in on that one, yep. So I've been with you for a while.
That's good. That's cool. And so, yeah, so it's tomorrow there, so I hope.
Yep, Monday, a beautiful sunny afternoon here, actually.
So let's first start out with, we're going to talk about AC/DC, because I mentioned that already, but we'll talk to you about you, maybe Australia, some Australian bands, maybe first, before we get to the album that we're going to talk about. First, tell me, how did you get into heavy metal, hard rock, heavy metal, whatever you want to go with there?
Well, you won't like this, but started with Kiss. Early 80s, so I was about 4 or 5, and they came out here for the first time, and it was massive. Just Kiss everywhere, T-shirts, posters, lunchboxes, the Kiss marketing machine. My neighbor had a Gene Simmons mask, scared the crap out of me, but icy poles, anything where they could Kiss on it. I had a Kiss T-shirt. So at that stage, it wasn't so much about the music, but just the vibe of it, and then later on the music came, and I'm a bit of a Kiss Nuffy still to this day. But yeah, so that was how it started. And then fast forward a few more years and Bon Jovi's Slippery When Wet was the first big one that sort of was massive that got me into it. And then you had Poison and Motley Crue were on that era. Another Bon Jovi, Bad Medicine, all that sort of stuff.
Yes.
And then as far as getting into the heavier stuff, about first year of high school, 89, a mate of mine, Murray, we love war movies, 12, 13-year-old kids, like Platoon, Full Metal Jacket, that sort of stuff. And he said, got this band Metallica with this war song called One. You got to check it out. First time I heard that, it was just like, wow. The drums sound like the gun and all that sort of stuff. And that was led into the heavier stuff. And he introduced me also to Megadeth, another one of your favorites, Faith No More, few other things. So that's how I got into the metal. And I like to think at high school, you probably might have been the same, where not many people were into it. It was, man, our era was rap and hip hop were big. So we was the little outcast sort of thing. But to quote or paraphrase Overkill song, old school, we just drank beer, banged our heads, and we just didn't give a stuff. We weren't cool, but we didn't care. We just loved our metals.
So you got, I'm assuming, I'm just looking at your face here, even though this is an audio podcast, and you look like you're a little younger than me, but I'm not going to ask you your age, but I'm assuming you were in high school before the internet and Spotify and all that stuff was going on, right?
So
did you have hard rock, heavy metal radio stations there?
No, not really. But the your normal commercial stations would play AC/DC and the Angels, and you'll get a lot of rock on the radio, which sort of, and like I said, like the Bon Jovi's or them, and back in the 80s, early 90s were big. But as far as the heavier stuff, you had to go looking for it. Yes. And it was a friend's brother or someone up the road, they'd have a tape and someone would bring a tape to school and you'd pass the tapes around and, have you heard the new Megadeth or whatever? And you go home and you had the double tape deck where you could tape the tape and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, before the internet. And then a favourite thing we used to do early 90s, we lived out in the suburbs of Melbourne. And so it was a big, to go into the city on a weekend, it was like a big thing for us, 15 sort of years old. And you catch a train in and you might go to a movie or play the arcade games or something. And then there was a shop we found, had a few names, Metal Labyrinth, might have been called Metal for Melbourne at one stage. And that was another one you could go in and you would see, oh my God, that's the big Iron Maiden thing and stuff you didn't see. And that sort of helped get into it as well. And you'd buy shirts from them or posters or flags or whatever.
Now before, so we're going to talk about AC/DC, but before we talk about AC/DC, let's talk about some Australian bands if you want to. I know of Airborne and Wolfmother. I like both of those bands a lot, even though Airborne sounds like AC/DC, a lot of people say.
I've actually got written down if AC/DC and Motorhead mated and had a kid, it would be Airborne. So
yes, that's a good thing.
But yeah, Running Wild is brilliant. Their first album was probably about 15 years ago now, I think, maybe a little bit more. Yeah, the first couple of albums, I just love all that stuff. Stand Up for Rock and Roll, Too Young, Too Far, whatever, got written down, Diamond in the Rough, all those stuff. I just love that stuff.
They're a fun, they're a fun band too with their lyrics.
Yeah, awesome live as well. Just energy, like AC/DC, just the energy. Oh, Too Much, Too Young, Too Fast was the song I was thinking, trying to get it spit out before, sorry.
And what are some other bands that you like? Who would be your favorite band after AC/DC that came out of Australia? Would it be Airborne or would there be somebody else?
Probably go with the Angels. Up Your Way, they're probably known as, I think they were called Angel City. So I think there was another band called Angels. So they marketed themselves as Angel City. And then they were phenomenal live too. Dolph Neeson, unfortunately, is no longer with us, but he was just brilliant, the singer. Have you heard any of their stuff?
Actually, I think I told you in an email, I have just looked too before we got on here. I have Angel City's Night Attack album, yep. Night Attack, but I don't remember why I have it exactly. Like I'm sure I listened to it like whatever years ago, whenever it came out. I don't know why. I don't remember why I bought it. If I just thought Australia or I don't know. I like AC/DC. Maybe that I can't remember. And I didn't have time to throw it on to see if it rang the bell to me and listen to it. But I have that album. So I did listen to them. It's just that I don't recall them. And it's been years since I listened. And I can't find it on Spotify. So I got to get the record out and put it on.
The one you would find is, have you ever heard of Am I Ever Going to See Your Face Again?
I see the Angels have one album on Spotify. Yes. I'm not sure if it was that one or not. But
yeah, you got to listen to the live version because the crowd always, because it's Am I Ever Going to See Your Face Again? And the crowd just says, no way again, fuck off. It's a thing that just became a...
Now, are they still a band?
Everyone sings it.
Are they still?
Oh, not really. A few of them are passed on. And I think there might be a few members that do a few things here and there. But like the lead singer's been gone since about 2014, I think. So yeah, that was really the end of the band. But they like the guitarists, I think the brothers founded the band and they still do it every now and again. But it's, to me, if you don't have the proper singer, it's almost just, it's a cover band really, isn't it?
yeah, it's true. And is there any other bands you want to talk about from Australia?
Rose Tattoo. You ever heard of Rose Tattoo? Uh-huh. They were a big Angry Anderson, the bald fellow like myself. Yeah, they were a big influence on Guns N' Roses, who covered Nice Boys, Don't Play Rock and Roll. I don't know if you've heard that one. And some of the other there, Scarred for Life, We Can't Be Beaten, Rock and Roll Outlaw. Like if you like AC/DC, it's all that sort of hard rocky sort of stuff. Pub rock, we call it. You go to the pub and you watch the band sort of thing. Which back here in the 70s and 80s was massive, but unfortunately, bands, there's not really much anymore of that sort of stuff. I don't know what it's like up your way. Most pubs now have poker machines or the noise restrictions or whatever, or it's too expensive.
And like I live 2 hours away from Toronto, which is where most of the bands would play if they're coming through anymore. So the lesser known bands like your Arch Enemy's not lesser known, but they're lesser known as in they're not Metallica or they're not Slayer or whatever. So they'll play at the smaller clubs that hold 1,000 or 2,000 people or whatever. So most of the bands play at those places unless, like I said, Metallica or Iron Maiden or whatever, they'll play at the big arena where they'll get 20,000. So there is still those small clubs for those kinds of bands like death metal band and stuff like that come through regularly, but most of the metal is played at the smaller clubs anymore. But there still is some there in Toronto, and there's one in London, Ontario, which is another town that's 30 minutes away from me that has some bands come play there, but not. Airborne was there. I wanted to go see him, but I didn't get the chance. But they did come to London, Ontario, because it's a smaller city.
Oh, you missed out, mate. You would have loved it.
So I will see if they come back again, maybe one time. But I haven't been to a show much in a year, I don't think. It's just I'm getting older, and so going to show, especially since I have to go to Toronto, it's such an ordeal now.
Yeah, fair enough.
So I don't get any other bands there you want to mention.
You've heard of the Screamy Jets?
Just from looking them up. I don't know if I've ever heard the music, but I was looking up some bands. So I remember I saw that name. They were one of the bigger ones.
Yeah, well, you check out Helping Hand, Better, Come On. That's just a few of their best songs that you might see on Spotify. Yeah, same again. If you like that hard rocky sort of stuff, that's them.
And I did see Parkway Drive, which again, I don't listen to, but they're more of a metalcore band, I think. And I said, I probably listen to that stuff, I don't think, but
a couple of me mates love them. So big shout out to Benny and Damo.
And I'm sure I guess those are like the biggest ones from Australia. But let's go.
Well, it's funny. I was going to say, you're probably similar, like where, your local bands, I've heard you mention Canada bands on before. You really love your local bands. They may not be known or big elsewhere, but because they're your local, you really love them. And then when one of them goes on, say AC/DC, to be big, it's like a really good badge of honor. Like one of our ones has made it, sort of thing.
Yes. I guess, it's funny because Rush is Canadian and they're probably even though they might not be metal, but they are kind of metal to some people anyway. But I was never really a Rush fan. But they did make it big. They're one of the bigger hard rock bands. Triumph was a band that I really liked, even though they only had a few really good albums, and then they kind of went too commercial after that. But yeah, I did, because when you grow up before Spotify and the internet, you hear the bands on the radio. And so Canadian radio had to play like 33% Canadian bands. So you'd hear April Wine and Triumph and Helix and those kinds of bands more so than you're still going to hear Aerosmith and Led Zeppelin and AC/DC, of course, and stuff like that makes it on the radio. But yes, you do I like to cheer on the Canadian bands. And back then, not so much now, but back then when I was getting into the music the most, that's when I really was into it. But now that everybody's everywhere and on the internet, I guess it's not as special anymore. I don't know.
Like talking before about hearing these sort of bands on the radio, other sort of Aussie bands, they're not metal or rock. Yeah, they're still guitars and drums, and you can dance to them or to sing along. Midnight Oil, you might have heard of them. Hunters and Collectors, Cold Chisel, Jimmy Barnes, they're all a lot of stuff we just listened to growing up. And it's, as I said, it's not really the metal, but there's still a guitar and drums. It's still proper music sort of thing.
And we've actually had a few album reviews of some Australian bands recently because one of my writers is from Australia, Shell, as we go by her. So she's done some bands. None of the bands that you've mentioned, and you might not even know them. And I'd have to look them up because I don't remember them. But if you check out her website, there's a few reviews lately that she did of a couple of Australia bands.
Oh, definitely get on, have a look.
I think one's called Nothing is the band's name. Nothing is one of them. And I just forget what the other one is. But yeah, we have a couple since she's on the website doing some writing. I told her if you can support some Australian bands, feel free to do so. Because I'm a Canadian, but my website isn't a Canadian website. It's born in Canada, but it's a world website, so anybody can promote what they're doing. So whatever. Okay.
Now that's what I like. Paul Stanley from Kiss always says, music is an international language. It doesn't matter where you are. And like hearing your podcasts, often I think, oh, yeah, you guys are on the other side of the world, but you feel the same listening to this stuff like we did when we were growing up. It's just amazing, really, how music just transcends boundaries. And
especially, I think, language metal, even more so than some other kinds of music. It seems to, it's like a big family, right? Except we're thousands of miles away.
Exactly. Like yeah.
It's too bad that the bands can't tour as much as they used to. Like they can't afford it. So I don't know. I know there's still bands that play Australia, but I don't know how many of the North American bands do make it to Australia these days very often. I don't know. I know.
Well, we've got Metallica coming in November, so I've got tickets to two of the shows for them, and saw Maiden out here last year as well. That's worth seeing. I think I sent you in the email once, Nearly 50 years old, but you're still seeing Eddie come out on stage. It's still, whoa, how good is it?
Yes, yeah. Okay, so let's talk about AC/DC. Now, you wanted to be on a podcast episode, and I suggested AC/DC because I thought it'd be interesting to hear what person from Australia, how they first got into AC/DC. So did you hear them on the radio first? Is that how you heard one of your country bands here?
Probably would have, but I was trying to think of the other day, but my first real memory is my dad had the TNT album on cassette, and he used to play it all. This is mid-80s. He used to play it all the time when we're in the car or at home or whatever. And I was like, whoa, how good is this? And I remember asking him about it. And he called them, I've written it down here. Where is it? He used to call them the nasty little schoolboys because the way they dressed, and they were a bit anti-authoritarian. And so that's how I first got into it. And then you'd always, as I said, hear it on the radio. And that cassette, it's slowly over the years, I would pinch it, listen to it. He'd grab it back, take it. And it slowly became mine over the years. And then there's mates at school that had older brothers that were into AC/DC. And so it was always around. And then the Blow Up Your Video album, I was in last year of primary school, and that was massive. You know, it all just morphed through there sort of thing. And I remember there was a school play, and I can't tell you what a play was or what we did, but my role was a school kid, and I dressed as Angus, and I had a little bit part, but I got the biggest cheer. And it's funny, I can still remember that nearly 40 years later.
That's cool. And now today I didn't watch, I know AC/DC has so many videos, but my favorite video is for It's a Long Way to the Top If You Want to Rock and Roll or whatever. Now, and I know that was recorded on a street, or I believe anyway, it was recorded on a street in Australia where they're riding on the back of a wagon on a truck and playing
one of the bagpipes. One of the main streets of Melbourne where I grew up. So, that's our song sort of thing.
I was watching it today and there's people standing on the side of the road and I thought, hey, I wonder if you're there, but I guess you weren't.
If I wasn't born, I was very young.
Yeah, I'm not sure what year that video was. It would be this album we're doing is Power Age in 78, so I guess it was before that, wasn't it? I think, or was it after?
Oh, yeah, it would have been about 75 76.
Okay, yeah.
And that was that clip. It was part of, there was a TV show here called Countdown from the mid 70s to late 80s, I think it ran, and there wasn't much around the promoted music, and then this TV show came out, and every week they would either have live bands on or they would talk about the latest. And they really used to try and plug Australian music, and AC/DC, they were massive. Yeah, so they used to promote AC/DC, and part of that film clip was done through the people that ran that show. And I think I remember reading something that they actually had to sneak out the equipment to go and film it because they weren't supposed to film offset because it would have cost them more for insurance. But they did it anyway, and they got the classics.
It's a funny video. Like, you see older people stand. Nobody's really getting into the music. It doesn't seem like it. The people that are on the side of the road, they're just watching them go by. Nobody's doing anything.
Yeah. And then I think at the end you see a girl trying to pass by on her phone number or a piece of paper. And
I don't know, because I saw that today, and I thought maybe it was a cigarette.
Maybe it is. I always thought it was passing a phone number. I don't know.
It might have been, yeah, because it looked like a white thing, so it could have been a note, like you say. I thought maybe, is that a cigarette? And I'm thinking, I don't think he can do that. He's got his hands full playing the bagpipes.
The funny thing with that is he never actually knew how to play them. They just thought, because he's got the Scottish background, they thought, and he did play in a pipe band. But he's like, no, I play drums. Didn't play the bagpipes. But they got them in there anyway.
Oh, they had three other guys that I guess did know how to play them that were riding on with them. So maybe that was.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I mentioned. Oh, for me, I was just going to briefly mention. I know we did another podcast on AC/DC. We didn't do one album, though. We just talked about the Bon Scott albums.
Yes.
But I did say on that episode that my brothers had some AC/DC albums, and I think Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap was the first album that I ever heard, as far as I can remember. But I saw that album and thought, what's these black marks over these people's faces for? Which is the album cover, at least here. I'm not sure if that was the same album cover there.
No, our album cover here, it was like a cartoon of the band playing pool. Okay. And Angus sticking his finger up at the camera, and Bon had a big tattoo on his arm. And
I don't know what.
Because it's funny, I've read, and you've mentioned it before, how the releases over there were different to here.
Yes, the start, yes.
Yeah.
Because there was
and
two...
one of them came out after he died, didn't you say?
After Bon died?
Yeah, didn't they release one of the albums of him on it? Maybe it might have even been the Dirty Deeds album.
Oh, I don't know. I'm trying to find something here. Oh, in my notes. No, what was I looking for? Sorry. Yeah, I don't know anything about that. Oh, where's the album's discography? Yeah, the first two albums were only released in Australia, and then they put them together and released them in North America, or the rest. I don't know if it was the rest of the world or North America. Yeah, High Voltage and TNT. But I have TNT, don't I? I think I do. Or no, I guess it must have been, oh, they called it TNT, didn't they? I think, I don't have that listed here, but I think when they released it, actually, I can't even remember because it doesn't say, I'm on Wikipedia looking at the discography, but it doesn't tell me, it says High Voltage, it does say High Voltage, but I thought I had an album called TNT, but maybe not, but whatever, but yeah, so two albums.
But yeah, our version of TNT had Long Way to the Top, High Voltage, TNT, The Jack, which then they did live, which is better with the alternate lyrics. Rock and Roll Singer, Live Wire. So, yeah, brilliant album.
I think I read that Power Age is the first album that the same cover was released in Australia as the rest of the world. I'm not positive.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Okay.
Because I think, because our version of the Let There Be Rock is just a picture of a guitar with fingers on it.
Yeah,
I think overseas it's like a black and white of the band playing live.
Yeah, it's I think it's color, but it is them playing live and Angus is out front. Looks like whatever, doing a solo or something like that. And Dirty Deeds, you just said, yeah, it's got a cartoon thing of it. Yeah, it's got a big thumb or a big tattoo arm there. But
yeah.
I've never looked at that before, actually. And then High Voltage. Yeah. See, I thought that was the TNT just because there's a big lightning bolt there with Angus on our cover. The cover for Australia was really, oh, it says original European cover I'm looking at is really.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Their first one here, we, I think, was High Voltage, and it was a dog weeing on a power station.
Okay. And it doesn't have that picture on this one. It has some European release that looks, it looks almost disco. Like the cover looks like it's like a disco album cover. Well, that's kind of weird.
But one thing with AC/DC and all through their career, it's like they don't care about the album covers. Like you compare them to, say, Maiden, for instance, it's like they're not even trying. Like some of them just very,
cheaper
very
that
basic.
Way, right?
Yeah, very just very basic. Even like Power Age, what we're going to talk about, it's just a very simple picture on the cover.
It's funny that Angus Young is on the cover by himself, and he was also on the cover of the High Voltage one just by himself. And it's weird to think, because it's not called Angus Young, it's called AC/DC. So it's weird.
Well, he's probably on by himself on a lot of the covers.
Yeah, I realize he is the main, like him and his brother started the band, and he's the main guy. And if they didn't have him, who knows what, if they would have really went anywhere for sure, I don't know. And not that I think Bon Scott is awesome or was awesome. And like the whole band sounded great. But anyway, better get talking about the album or we'll be here all day. Okay, first, so if anybody doesn't know, I'm sure you do know if you're listening to this, you like AC/DC probably. So an Australian rock band formed in Sydney in 1973. And I'm going to skip. Oh, I will say that the band was inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2003, and they have sold over 200 million records, making them one of the best-selling artists of all time. But I think people probably could have guessed that. So we're going to talk about the album Power Age, which was released in May 1978. at least here it was, or maybe this was whatever. I think it was a couple months difference or something. It was their fifth studio album to North America, I believe, or is it the fourth to North America? It's confusing. Let's see. It's Power Age. It would be the, okay, it's the fourth album in North America, but their fifth album for Australia, since the first two were combined for us. Let's see. First album to feature bass player Cliff Williams, replacing Mark Evans, produced by Vanda and Young, who I think did the other early AC/DC albums. Yep.
It was the last one they did, and then they got in Mutt Lang, who did Highway to Hell and, and Back in Black.
I didn't even pay attention that this is the last one before Highway to Hell. Now, would this be one of your favorite? Because this, you picked this album when I said I wanted to do a
It's my favorite album of all time. And the reason I wanted to do it, it's always talked about as being an underrated, underappreciated album, because it doesn't have the big sort of hits on it, say Highway to Hell does. Yeah. But I was thinking, I've always liked the different type and not the main one, because I've actually written down like my favorite Pantera albums, Cowboys, favorite Metallica's Kill 'Em All, Priest, Killing Machine, Maiden, Peace of Mind. So I've always liked something a little bit different to the main stuff. And I've also written down, I don't know if you follow sport at all, but there's a saying that a champion team will always beat a team of champions. So you could have, nobody's like a real big standout, but everyone plays their part and it's just an even really good team or an album.
Yes.
And then another team might have three or four really good players who dominate and are stars, but then the rest aren't as good. And you often get albums like that as well. So I've always liked the albums where everything is good. Yeah, it all adds up to one big, great album.
Yeah, now I think Let There Be Rock would be my favorite AC/DC album. Especially the Bon Scott, because I'm more of a Bon Scott fan than a Brian Johnson fan. Not that I dislike him, it's just that I love Bon Scott and was sad that he was gone. So I guess Let There Be Rock would be my favorite one, but we're going to get to our top songs later, so we'll get into more of that maybe, and you'll hear from our list what we're going to do. Because we're actually going to do, so people will, even though it's going to say it in the description, probably of the podcast, but we're going to do our top 10 Brian Johnson AC/DC songs and our top 10 Bon Scott AC/DC songs. So we get two top 10 lists for this episode.
Well, as I said to you off air before, like almost like two different bands. So I thought, if you're going to do a top 10, you got to give Brian some love, because otherwise it would all just be about Bonds. Yeah. And it's funny, he's thought of as like the new singer. And he's been doing it for 45 years. Yeah. He's still the new singer.
I know. I did, like, because I loved AC/DC back in the Bon Scott days. And then Back in Black. I still like Back in Black. It's just now, years later, I usually just go back and listen to the Bon Scott albums. I refreshed my memory on some of the Brian Johnson albums this last week to make up my list. And I still like some of the songs, which we'll get to. But it's just that I loved Bon Scott so much, so it was like, that's just kind of what I go back to, and I grew up with it. That's how I got into music, and those are the albums I heard first, of course. So it'd be different if Back in Black was my first AC/DC album. Anyway, so the lineup, I already mentioned the whole lineup except Phil Rudd, who's on the drums. I think I mentioned the other guys, Malcolm and Angus Young, and of course Bon Scott. So we're gonna start on the songs. The first song is Rock and Roll Damnation. And so what do you think of this one?
It just hooks you from the start, doesn't it? And one thing I've written here is sizzles. It's just brilliant, hard rock and anthem, unreal song. I've written down, it's only short. It's about 3 minutes 30, and you wish it was longer because it's just such a great song.
I thought I had this wrote down here, but supposedly they added the song in later.
Yes.
This is the last song.
It was the last one they recorded because that someone said, we need a rock radio-friendly song. We don't really have a radio single. But they were never really a single band anyway. They're more an album band. But, came up with this song. And I think the song is about struggling to please everybody, rock and roll damnation sort of thing.
And I believe there's no guitar solo on this song either.
A little bit towards the end. But, compared to normal, it's not as...
Yeah, I read that.
But it's... but it still just gets you into it. It just keeps you going the whole song. Even though it doesn't have the solo, it's just keeps your attention the whole way.
I never would have thought, like, I just read that today. I guess I don't pay attention every song that I'm listening to over my lifetime. There's just a guitar solo in it, but you wouldn't think there'd ever be an AC/DC song without one. So it was funny when I read that, but yeah, there's probably a little bit in there. But yes, it is a great opening track. Now, I know one thing I talk about sometimes is ballads, but I don't think AC/DC ever has any ballad. Maybe now, I don't know if they ever do ballads. I know one of my songs in my top 10 I wouldn't call it a ballad, but they're bluesy. This album is maybe more bluesy than some of the other ones are.
Blues, yes, definitely. But it's funny, you listen to some very early Bon Scott stuff, like there's one called Love Song. There's a couple of, you would say, ballady, slowy sort of songs, but yeah, not like ballads as in Ancient Scarlet Roses or that Motley Crue, if you're talking ballads from rock bands.
Yeah. Now, and I checked out, like I mentioned sometimes on the podcast, I did check out Setlist website, setlist.fm, which has how many times they've played songs. And this is the second most popular song from this album that they've played live. They've only played it 124 times, which is not only, but that's a lot. But the first song, when we get to that one, I'll say how many of that. And it's a big difference in how many times they played it live. And there's
most of these they probably wouldn't have played since Bond.
No, there's a few here. I'm going to mention it where they barely played them or didn't play them at all. Because it is their fifth album. So you got your big songs from your Dirty Deeds, and the other Let There Be Rock and all that stuff that they have to play. And then, of course, they got really big after this one with Highway to Hell and Back in Black. So the songs would have just got left off their list. Okay, then we go to Down Payment Blues. And how do you like this one?
Oh, another great song. It's just got a nice slow build to it. Just the rhythm just gets your feet thumping and really builds into the song. His voice is great because obviously the theme is not having any money. It comes off the back of Ain't No Fun Waiting Around to Be a Millionaire, the similar sort of themes from one of the songs off an earlier album. And his voice, just plenty of feeling, talking about the hardship, can't even feed his cat, that sort of stuff. Just great lyrics. The solos are unreal. Just written down raw and loud guitars, just really great. And then the nice bluesy outro to finish.
Yeah, I love the start of the song too and how it builds, like you said. I love that. I always thought AC/DC, they always sound the same, but of course, it's AC/DC, but still they don't, like their songs, they have things like this that are really awesome and have a build-up thing. And I love Bon Scott's, like, I don't really think I paid much attention to the lyrics after Bon was gone, but probably because I don't listen to the albums as much as I did the Bon Scott one. But I love the lyrics and Bon Scott's lyrics. I assume he wrote most of the lyrics, if not all of them, in the early days. But the one line is, I got a Cadillac, but can't afford the gasoline.
Yes.
And I didn't write down this, but there's another song. I think it's Rock and Roll Singer from the first album. I'm not sure, but I don't know. He sings something about, he doesn't want to go to school or whatever. He wants to be a rock and roll star or something. And he says, yes, I are, because that's bad grammar, probably because he just.
That's right. You really notice the change in the lyrics, like how good Bond's poetry and talking about life on the streets is. And then as they go through Brian, rock and roll train, what's that? And Angus says, oh, we just like trains.
It's like, well, I got a comment about trains in this, but I'll get to that later. Okay, then, and that song's been played 47 times live, and this next one, Give Me a Bullet, has been played 0 times live. Yeah, what do you think of this song though, Give Me a Bullet?
Yeah, it's another great intro, just hooks you in, and Bond's lyrics again on point. It's about the pain of the breakup, and it's another short song, but it just rocks. And I've written down awesome bass from Cliff.
Yeah, if the song wasn't heavy or bluesy or rocky, then it could have been a ballad. I guess it's about it's a heartbreak song, but I don't think Bon Scott had a ballad in him to be like a love song or a heartbreak song, like you said, Guns N' Roses or Motley Crue would do. But yeah, I like the song, and I'm surprised that they never played it live. Seems strange, but like I say, they can't do everything. Then they end off side. I believe this is the end of is Riff Raff, the end of side one for Vinyl Boys.
Well, I only had this one on CD.
I had this on vinyl. It doesn't matter if it isn't or not. But anyway, Riff Raff. How do you know? This one is, I'm just going to briefly mention, there's not very many lyrics to this song.
No, it's all just guitar, just flat out.
So what do you think of this song?
I'd written down, so this was a song that got me into the album because, as I said, I grew up with the Brian stuff, but I did hear a bit of other Bond as well. And then there used to be a TV show here, it might even still be running, called Rage. And it was I think it was Friday, Saturday nights from about 9 or 10 p.m. till 6 in the morning. And they just played film clips the whole time. And it was just any kind of genre, music, all these random film clips. Anyway, one time they played the Riff Raff clip and I was just blown away. Whoa, what's this? Had to go back and then found it was on this album and then got into this album. But it's the If You Want Blood album, the live album.
Yes.
So it was the live at Apollo gig in Scotland. They filmed, I don't think the whole gig is available if you go through YouTube. And they released some of it on DVD, but it's just brilliant, just unreal. It's them at their peak. Just incredible.
I don't really know what Riff Raff means.
In the song, yeah. I'm not sure. I have heard it might be, the song might be about drugs, maybe. But yeah, it's all speculation, I don't know. But it's just a great song. Like, I've just written that really good build up of the guitar. And then about 40 seconds in, bang, it just gets even heavier and just the energy of it. You just want to jump around. It just fires you up.
Go ahead.
Yeah, saw Guns N' Roses, speaking of them. It was about 7 or 8 years ago at the MCG. And it was around the time when Axl was also filling in for ACDC.
Oh, yeah.
The old Axl DC. And people were bagging it. Oh, what's he doing? But he actually sung Bond stuff really good, I thought, because I watched a few of the clips on YouTube. Anyway, so when Guns played out here, they got Angus up. We didn't know. And halfway through the gig, they go, oh, a special guest from Australia. And they've done a whole lot of Rosie and Riff Raff. And it was the best part of the gig. It was unreal.
I'm sure it would be probably for, especially for the Australian fans.
Yes. Yeah. And yes, I've also written with this song, I love the laugh, or it's Rev. Oh, he just throws that laugh in there. Just unreal.
Yeah, I was going to mention that too. He says, Riff Raff, oh, it's good for a laugh. And then he does the laugh.
Does the laugh, yeah. So,
that's why it's hard to understand what the song is necessarily about. And then later in the song, he says, go on and laugh yourself in half. And I don't really know.
Yeah, then it just gets into the guitar and you're just banging your head anyway.
It's mostly, yes, it's definitely for the guitar and the heaviness of that song.
It's one of the longer ones on the album too. I think this and Down Payment is 5-6 minutes and the others are all roughly 3-3.5.
Yeah, and it's been played 83 times live. I really thought they'd play that one even more, but like I say, again. Now the next one, they've played Sin City. We're doing Sin City. And they've played this song 865 times live, so almost 700 more than any other songs on this album. So what do you think?
This is actually one of the few Bond ones that Brian does really well. I've heard him do it live a few times. And every time wherever they're playing, and I've heard it on DVDs and CDs where he goes, we've got a song for you, Ontario. This one's called Sin City. But it's just a good, he's obviously talking about the daydreaming to be rich and go off to Vegas and all that sort of stuff.
Yes.
But then he says, you can try to do it, but you've got no hope, the loaded deck. And I think there's a line that says, you ain't got a hope in hell. That's my belief sort of thing. But the way he describes the party, the champagne on ice, spin the wheel, cut the deck. You just want to, you can picture yourself there and you just want to party.
Yeah.
And I've got written down, it's like quick guitar, but then it slows down with the bass. And when you hear it live, everyone claps along and his voice, once again, is brilliant. Then it speeds up again. Just a great song.
And I like the part late when they slow the song. They slow the song down there, and it goes ladders and snakes. Ladders,
yes, and take.
Now, I don't know if kids still play the games ladders and snakes. I'm not sure. Was it called that? Do you remember that game in Australia?
Oh, yeah, I remember. I just played it with my kids.
They might have a different name for it.
No, snakes and ladders. We've played. Yeah, no, we played it with my own kids, so yeah.
Yeah, because that's exactly what happens in the game. Ladders give, snakes take.
That's right.
So I don't know why that's in there or not. But anyway, now we got Superman mentioned in the next song as we talk about what's next to the moon. So what do you think of this one?
Oh, another brilliant song, brilliant lyrics again. I've written down, it's a real ominous sounding at the start, just to get you into the mood because the ominous sort of song. And I did read that Angus, when they were mucking around trying to come up with a song, he had a broken string on his guitar and it did a different sound. And Malcolm's, hey, that's actually really good for the start of the song. Let's go with that. So
cool. I don't remember.
Another short one, about 3.5 minutes. And I've always thought with this album, you hear these songs and you just want to go back again because you get through them and you go, gee, how good was that? It's only 3 minutes. You got to go back and get into it again.
Yes, it's a dark song because I guess it's because this is the one where he ties the girl to the railroad tracks, right?
Yep. Sorry,
didn't read that part.
And then, oh, I don't know. What are you talking about, officer? And then he's, oh, he has a change of heart. Oh, yeah. But she had a heart attack. I didn't kill her.
Yeah, so that's a dark one. And I'm not really sure the reference of Clark Kent, Superman. He was looking for a ride. I don't know. But
yeah, might be a sexual thing, thinking about Lois Lane.
Yeah, there was a line. I didn't write that down, but yeah, there was a line on Lois Lane too. And that song they've played 3 times live.
That'll.
I'm not sure why they'd only play a song, either play not play it at all. Why do it 3 times? Maybe it was only in Australia that they. I don't know what that would be about. But anyway, then we go to Gone Shootin', which they played 76 times live. And how do you like Gone Shootin'?
Oh, I've written down here, just a great beat, just boogie, you know, that pulsating, boom, boom, boom. Oh, it's just, and another one that Brian, there's a version, they might have been in rehearsal, that you can find it on YouTube, and he sings it really well. But I've written down the solo, just masterpiece, just unreal song. And his delivery, because it's about addiction and the relationship on edge, you can hear the pain in his voice as he's singing it. It's just so well delivered.
Yeah, apparently it's about an ex-girlfriend's heroin addiction, if that's correct. Anyway, that's what I read.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what Gone Shootin' would mean.
Yes, so, yeah. And then he couldn't get it. He took an offer in another town. She took another pill. Yeah, he's just his pain of he couldn't get her off the drugs.
And there's a line where he says, I stirred my coffee with the same spoon. Now, it sounds really cool. I don't really know what it means, but.
Oh, I'm wondering if that's the spoon that she was using for a heroin.
Yeah, I just got that now, too. I'm not a heroin user, so I probably don't know all this stuff. Maybe I sound like it, but I'm not. So anyway, that's another good track. I like every song on this album and probably every song on, for some reason, Problem Child that came out on a couple of albums. I don't like that song. That's like the only EC song I don't really like. I don't know why. It's just, I don't know. I always skip that one when I hear.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I like every other.
But your Gone Shootin' was on Beavis and Butthead Do America soundtrack. Oh, and I read that the show's theme was inspired by the bass line played backwards of Gone Shootin'. And I've also written another just a brilliant outro, just the end of the song. So it fades away. It makes you want to hear more.
Yes. Okay. And then we go to Up to My Neck in You. I think the last two songs are killer songs. I just said I like every song on the album, but I really like the last two to finish it off. But what do you think of Up to My Neck in You?
You must have read me, Mike, because I've written down here, it's just a great 1-2 punch to finish the album. And Up to My Neck in You, just about one, probably my favorite song on the album, just about anything they do. Just his solo, just the guitar. It's just, I've written here from about 1:52 to 3:15, he's just less loose. And it just builds, and you think it's going to end, and then it gets higher. It's just unreal. You just bang your head and play your guitar. And another word I've written there, frantic, just hard rock at its best.
Now they mentioned Train, and I was going to say this before. They mentioned Train in the song. I didn't write that down. But we also got that one where he tied his girlfriend to the train tracks. And I think early on there was a mention of Train. Bon Scott must have lived somewhere where he took the train a lot because he really throws the train lyrics a lot. So that must have been how he got around Australia in his younger days or something like that. And then we finish. Oh, that song has been played 16 times live. And the last one, even though I think this is my favorite song in the album, if I remember from my top 10 list, but they've only played this one 2 times live. Kicked in the Teeth. So you just said you like it, but go on about
I've just written out, it just cooks. This brilliant solo, just a rocking, raw energy, playing air guitar to sing along, and then the album ends, and off the back of those two, like, full on hard rockers as well. And it's like the end of, like, A Whole Lot of Rosie might be the end of the Let There Be Rock album, and once it ends, you're like, oh, I'm going to go back and hear it again.
Yeah, I love his guitar sound and the solos on this one. Not that I don't like them on the other ones, but it's just a different sound, and you can, whatever. I'm not a guitar guy. I have a guitar, but I don't know the terminology. But I just love his little solos in this near the end of the song. And yeah, it's one of my favorite songs, and I'm really surprised that they've only done it twice live. And anyway, so that's the album, and I think we both agree, we both probably like every song. There's no bad ones on this one, I don't think. If you could rate it out of 10, I know you're not an album reviewer, but how would you rate this one out of 10? I think, is it
10. Like I said, it's my favorite album.
You already said it was your favorite album, so.
Yeah. What have I written down, Mackie? I was trying to think why. And I think one of the reasons I love this album, is a lot of the songs all through their career, his solos are really short. But in this album, they've just let him go. And his solos seem to be longer and louder and just bigger and better. And you can just imagine him running around the studio when they're playing it. And of course, Bond's lyrics all throughout are brilliant and summed up the album, just raw energy, explosiveness. And Head Parade just sums it up, the title.
Yeah. And that would have been a good name. No, I think I was thinking once High Voltage would have been a good name for AC/DC if they didn't pick AC/DC, because High Voltage sounds like AC/DC. But yes, well, Power Age, good title.
I don't know if you mentioned it on your other podcast, but yeah, the name came, it was a sister Margaret, and it was either saw AC/DC, it was either on a vacuum cleaner or a sewing machine.
Yeah.
That's perfect for you guys with the energy and the sound and what they were looking for.
And I guess AC/DC stands for alternating current, direct current.
Yes.
Yes. I wouldn't have known that until I read that today. But okay.
As we call them, Akadaka.
Okay. And I guess I would give it, I'm not going to give it a 10 just because I'd probably give Let There Be Rock a 10, but I'd give it like a 9 or a 9.5 because I do. But I love, like I just said, I love every AC/DC album, Bon Scott. I like them all. So there's not really anything wrong with any of them. Now, seeing them live, I've never seen them live. I don't know why exactly. I was probably too young when Bon Scott was the leader. And then when Brian Johnson was in it, maybe I didn't really care about seeing them live because I wanted to see Bon Scott. So I didn't. But you from Australia obviously have seen AC/DC live. Do you remember like how many times or what's your favorite one or anything?
Hard to pick favorite. But so first saw them in 1991. And that was one of my first, I was about 14, 15, one of my first big concerts. And that was the Razor's Edge tour. And one thing I remember is the song Money Talks. If you see the film clip on YouTube, they drop the money down. And that's what they did at the concert. And it's like a dollar bill with Angus's face on it. That was really cool. And then they've probably come out maybe 5 or 6 times since. And the rumor is they're supposed to be coming out again soon. So they're touring America through your summer or Europe maybe. But and some tours I'd seen them twice at the same city, others in different cities, just followed them around a bit. So probably a dozen, 14 times maybe seen them. Just love it. And Angus, you just got to watch him live. On the videos, you think he's good running around, but watching him live, just incredible.
I should, because I don't think I've ever watched an AC/DC concert on DVD either or whatever. I don't think anyway, but I know I can on TV. I know there's a couple ones that are available and I was going to watch today, but then I didn't get the chance, but I'll definitely have to check it out. It's too bad there isn't any Bon Scott. There might be some bootlegs or something, but it's too bad there wasn't one that they kept with Bon Scott, because I would really like to see that. I know I've seen some videos and stuff, but Yeah.
And it's, even though you know what's coming, it's like Maiden when he's coming out, and it's, but when it comes out, it's still exciting. When Angus does his big solo and he runs around, and in the later few years, we've seen him, they had the crane where he goes up high over the audience and drops down and rolls around on his back. And yeah, it's amazing. And they have the big bell for Hell's Bells that he rings, and a whole lot of Rosie. They have a big blow up of Rosie behind the stage. Yeah, it's just fantastic.
Yeah, I'm sure they put on a great live show, and so many people like them because they're not just metal and they're hard rock or whatever. And of course, they're easy for the radio to play them, at least back. I don't know about now. I don't know where the radio anymore. Anyway. Okay, I had a few little facts about AC/DC. Hopefully this is correct because I just got this off the internet, so you never know sometimes. But one was the band name, which you already mentioned, so I guess that is right. It said it was from a sewing machine and whatever. And his schoolboy outfit was his sister's idea, the same sister that had the sewing machine.
Said, yeah, because I think he used to come, he was so excited he'd come home from school when they were starting the band that he got in his guitar and kept playing rather than getting changed. And then they're, oh, that's a good. But he actually, there's photos of him wearing Superman and Zorro, and he tried out a few costumes, but obviously, thank goodness he was the school one instead.
Now this, I don't know, I've never really heard this, maybe you have. It says they were once mistaken for a satanic band because of the album Highway to Hell, but I don't remember. And somebody said that they thought it stood for, AC/DC stood for Antichrist Devil's Children. But I've never heard before.
Yeah, no, but that was a big tale when we were growing up. Oh, Antichrist, any child. And Kiss was Knights in Satan's Service, and it was We Are Satan's People.
Yeah, and Motley Crue had Shout of the Devil and stuff.
Yes.
None of those bands. There was bands that deserved it, like Slayer and Venom, but I don't really think these other bands deserved anything. Okay, what else do I got? We know Bon Scott wasn't the first singer. There was Dave Evans. I don't have it here, but I think Bon Scott used to drive the band around.
Yeah, he was the chauffeur.
Yeah, before he was in the band. So whatever. Let's see. That I'm not going to say. Back in Black is one of the best-selling albums of all time. Let's see. It has sold over 50 million copies. That's okay. That's pretty good.
I think it's still in the top five of most sold.
Probably. Up there. Let's see. Their first U.S. tour was a disaster. Do you know who they toured with?
No.
Have a guess? It's Kiss.
Oh, is that right? Okay. I did not know that.
Says their wild antics and raw sound didn't fit in. So I guess Kiss was really a calm. I don't understand that, but. But that's what it says. Let's see. They were once banned from their own album party. It says the High Voltage album party, they couldn't get in because security didn't recognize them. I don't know if that's true or not. That seems kind of weird. I guess Brian Johnson was a car mechanic before he joined AC/DC, but I don't think that's totally strange.
He was in a band called Geordie in
the
UK. And if you hear some of his stuff, you can see how he went on to become AC/DC. And Bond saw him live and did, like, I don't know how true it is, but it's a legend, I suppose, that he said, if I go, this is the one to replace me.
Yeah, I do remember reading that, not this time, but when we did the other one, I do remember reading that. And Back in Black was supposedly a tribute to Bon Scott.
Also. Yes, and there's a bit of controversy over whether they were Bond's or Brian's lyrics. There's a lot of conspiracy theory articles you can read up on YouTube about whether, because it does sound like Bond lyrics, but they credit it to Brian. Who knows? Oh. It's just a great album, so what does it matter who wrote it?
And I don't know if Bon Scott, I just know there's an album I listened to by a guy named Jim Brewer. He's a stand-up comedian.
Going to mention him. There's a clip, he does the hokey pokey in Brian Johnson's voice. It's very funny. But well, Brian recorded
an album called Songs from the Garage in 2016.
Yes, I've got that album.
And Brian Johnson guested on, I think he was on My Rock and Roll Dream, that song, I think. Or is it
he's no, on
Mr.
a couple
Rock and Roll.
Mr. Rock and Roll, that's the one, yes. Sorry. Yes.
it doesn't have his name there, but yeah, so he's a guest on that album, if anybody, and that's a, I think that's a good album too, that Jim Brewer.
Yeah, for a comedian.
Some funny, silly lyrics, but I know he's a heavy metal, hard rock fan.
He often turns up at Metallica concerts because he does a lot of good spoofs of, with the James sort of thing. And
Yes, and he does some heavy metal stuff in some of his stand-up, like talking about Slayer fans and things like
that.
He's funny. So anyway, and he was on Saturday Night Live, I think, at one time too. Just in case people thought, who's Jim Brewer? But anyway, stand-up comedian. Okay, and there's one more thing. You can tell me if this is true, but they inspired the name of a spider in Australia. You know about this?
No, I haven't heard that one, but it sounds like a good story.
It says Ops AC/DC was named after the band in honor of their Aussie roots and electrifying performances. Now, it doesn't tell me anything about the spider, about if the spider is electric, but I don't know. It just says Acidops, AC/DC.
Okay.
The name of a species of Australian spider.
Well, I got a bit of arachnophobia, so I'm not going to really look that one up and see if it's true or not.
There could be an AC/DC spider in your house right now, maybe. But
yeah.
Okay. So now we're going to get to our top 10 list. Now we've already mentioned Brian Johnson a little bit. So we're both going to do top 10 Brian Johnson AC/DC songs and top 10 Bon Scott AC/DC songs. And I think I'm going to go first with my Bon Scott ones, and then I'll let you do your Bon Scott ones. Or no, sorry, Brian Johnson one first, and then we'll end Bon Scott. So I'm going to start for now. I got mine in order. I don't know if you put them in order or.
I've followed your tradition and gone 10 down to
now,
one.
Now, for the Brian Johnson ones, like I said, I refreshed my memory. I didn't listen to all the albums, like Black Ice. I don't know if I've ever listened to that album necessarily. And there might be another couple that I didn't listen to too much, but I know I used to listen to the albums, like For Those About the Rock, Back in Black.
Yep.
Flick of the Switch and all that stuff. So most of my songs are probably from 3 or 4 albums here. But my number, and I didn't write down the albums. I might even forget what they're from. But I think number 10 is Landslide. I believe that was from Flick of the Switch. I think.
Yep.
Number 9, I got Rising Power, also from Flick of the Switch. Number 8, I got Thunderstruck, which is from Blow Up Your Video. Is that right?
Thunderstruck's Razor's Edge.
Oh, sorry. I get confused there. Let's see, where am I? Number 7, Put My Finger on You. Yeah, Put My Finger on You, which is from For Those About the Rock.
Yep.
Number 6, I got Nervous Shakedown, which I think is Flick of the Switch, right?
Yep.
I just saw that I have a vinyl single of that song, Nervous Shakedown, for some reason. But okay. I think it's a live version, I believe, but I just saw it. I was looking through my records. Okay, number 5, I got Giving the Dog a Bone from Back in Black. Probably because I have a dog, so I like that. Number 4, we got Let's Get It Up from For Those About the Rock. Number 3, also from Those About the Rock, is Inject the Venom. My number 2 is Rock and Roll Ain't Noise Pollution from Back in Black. And my number 1 is For Those About to Rock, We Salute You. Now, I could have had Hell's Bells in here. I forgot as I was making my list, but I don't know where I'd fit it in. So I'll just say Hell's Bells is an honorable mention. So let's hear your top 10 Brian Johnson AC/DC songs.
Oh, geez, it was tough. And I've got a few honorable mentions, if it's okay, before we start. Yes, Hell's Bells was one of them. Noise Pollution, another one. Money Talks, Put the Finger on You, Inject the Venom. Hard as a Rock off the Ball Breaker album from the mid-90s, and the Big Gun single, which is it's Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, Last Action Hero, come out in the mid-90s. I'm a massive Schwarzenegger fan, so they put a single for that, and I just loved it. But anyway, so the top 10. 10, I got Thunderstruck from Razor's Edge. You go to any sporting event in the world, you'll probably hear this song. And the film clip is just amazing, where they've got the camera under the stage, and you see him dance across. And then there's also a camera on his guitar. You see his hands. Pretty amazing, because you don't really see that angle. So that's one of the better film clips.
Before you go on, we just did an interview. One of my writers did an interview with a band whose name, of course, I can't remember in my head. But anyway, if you check out our YouTube videos, the reason that band started was because they heard the song Thunderstruck. And that's why they started being a band.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, so I'm sure Angus has inspired millions of people to pick up a guitar. So it's
funny that he was talking. I just posted that like yesterday, I think it was, talking about Thunderstruck. And now here we are talking about Thunderstruck. Okay, continue. Sorry.
Nine, I've got Bedlam in Belgium from Flick of the Switch album. I think I read that the song is true, how they were trying to play a gig and the cops tried to stop them and they got whacked and there was blood, and just a great rocking song. Who Made Who from Who Made Who, and the film Maximum Overdrive, which I think you might have mentioned on the podcast once or twice before.
I love that movie, even though I guess it's not a very good movie, but I like
it. Oh, I watched it recently. It's terrible. But it's a good soundtrack because Stephen King loved AC/DC. And seven, I got Have a Drink on Me from Back in Black. I always think the irony of that song, that the singers died from alcohol misadventure and they have a song, Have a Drink on Me, on his tribute album. Six, I got Flick of the Switch, the title track from Flick of the Switch, just a great rocking song. Five, I got That's the Way I Want to Rock and Roll from Blow Up Your Video, another good one to sing along, good live. Four, Back in Black from Back in Black, just that iconic riff. Three, Sink the Pink from Fly on the Wall, just another one with great guitar, good to sing along to. Very underrated album too, Fly on the Wall. Two, I got Shook Me All Night Long from Back in Black. Just one of those songs that just takes you back to teenage parties, drinking beer, singing along. And then as you go through the song, we played it, we had it at our weddings and all the amazing 21st. It still goes through with us. You hear it now. It's just amazing. And Shoot the Thrills, my number one off Back in Black. Just great song. And I just love how they slow it down and then speed it back up again. Just brilliant. And good live too.
And you mentioned You Shook Me All Night Long. Yeah, they used to play that at weddings, and I always thought it was funny to hear.
Yeah.
I guess the idea of the song makes sense, but it seems fast to be playing at a wedding or kind of at a wedding. But they used to play it all the time back in the 80s or 90s, whatever, when I used to go to a lot of weddings. But
yeah. Yeah, it's just a great party song.
Yeah. Yeah.
And another one with a good film clip too. There's two versions because off the Back in Black promos, it was just them in a studio playing. But then because it appears on the Who Made Who album, and they made another film clip of it with Brian's walking along and he said, lady calls him in, come in, and he goes upstairs and the look on his face when he opens and it shows to her she's got nothing on, and it's a good song.
I think I have a DVD set of all the AC/DC videos up to a certain point.
It's probably, I think I've got it behind me.
I saw it on your wall there. And your
So
I have that somewhere, but I didn't get it out, check it out. But yes. Okay. So now we're going to move on to the Bon Scott AC/DC albums. And I'll go first again, and then I'll let you do yours after me. So I couldn't decide on honorable mention, so I have two number 10s.
Why not?
My list, and I thought,
this one goes up to 11.
Yes, it does, because I didn't know which one to say was an honorable mention. So tied for number 10, I got Sin City from the album we talked about, and I got Walk All Over You from Highway to Hell. Yep. And my number 9 is also from this album that we talked about. I got Riff Raff on there. My number 8, I got Whole Lotta Rosie. My number, which is, of course, from, what's that? Which one's that from? Sorry.
Rosie's Let There Be Rock.
Let There Be Rock. Okay, sorry. Yeah, okay. Where am I? Number 7, I got Beating Around the Bush from Highway to Hell. Number 6, I got Bad Boy Boogie. And 5 is Hell Ain't a Bad Place to Be. Those are both on Let There Be Rock also.
Yeah. Yep,
Didn't look that up. I just know the song titles because I listen to the album so much, but I just listen to them. I don't pay attention to what album they're on. Okay, so my number 4, I got Kicked in the Teeth Again from Power Age.
Yeah.
Even though they've only played it live 2 times, but anyway, it's one of my favorite songs. My number 3 is It's a Long Way to the Top, If You Want to Rock and Roll, which of course we talked before about that video. And of course, Jack Black sang it in that movie. School
of Rock.
Yeah. So they made it a hit again, I think, for a second time. If it was a hit the first time, I don't know, but they made it a hit the second time. My number 2, now this is the slow song I mentioned. It's not, I would never call it a ballad, but it's from Dirty Deeds, and that's eat no fun waiting around to be a millionaire. And I
I actually thought you were going to say ride on, but anyway.
Yeah, that is probably ride on is slower than this one. And I do that song too, but yeah, I love Ain't No Fun Waiting Around to Be a Millionaire. And I'm sure I mentioned this on the other AC/DC podcast about how I like where he says, hey, my neighbor, I don't remember his name, but get your fucking jumbo jet off.
Out of my airport. Yeah.
That's great. And my number one, people might be able to guess this from saying what my favorite album is, but my favorite song is Let There Be Rock. Because I just remember song so much, playing it all the time at home. And loving that song.
Have you seen the film clip for that where he's in the church?
Yeah, it's been a while I watched it, but yeah.
And there's a bit where he jumps because he's up on the pulpit and he jumps over the top of Angus. And apparently he broke his ankle, I think, when he landed. But it looks good on film.
Yes. Okay. So let's hear your top 10 or more Bon Scott.
Yeah. Well, this was bloody hard too. It's probably heaps that I've missed out that I could have got a bit. Yeah. A whole lot of honorable mentions. Yeah. A whole lot of Rosie, Let There Be Rock, Riff Raff, Rocker of TNT, School Days, which is, I think, a Chuck Berry cover, but I just love that. Long Live Rock and Roll, Hail Rock and Roll. And another one, I don't know if you've heard a song called Carry Me Home. I think it was one of the B-sides, might be off the Let There Be Rock era. And he's talking about he's drinking in a pub with a girl who starts drinking him under the table and he's losing all his money and she's drinking all and he can't keep up. And as the way he sings it, it sounds like he's getting drunker as the song goes. This is really good. Really well done.
I heard that. I'd have to look that one out.
Yeah, it's one of those rare ones, but it's definitely worth checking out. But anyway, so number 10, I've got Jailbreak from Dirty Deeds. Oh. Great anthem song. And the film clip too is just fantastic. It's a bit cheesy when you look at it, but it's still pretty cool. 9, I've got Gone Shooting off the album we've just discussed. High Voltage at number 8 off TNT, just a classic anthem song. And another great film clip, which if you watch it, it sums up the band. Just the chaos, they're running around stage, the crowd's getting into it, Angus jumping around. It's just fantastic. 7 from this album, we've got Rock and Roll Damnation. Just love that song. 6, Long Way to the Top if you want a rock and roll, or as we used to say, Long Way to the Shop if you want a sausage roll. And I was going to mention the film clip, but we've discussed that before. 5, Highway to Hell. Obviously, the title track of Highway to Hell, just that iconic riff. And I love the way he delivers the line, hey, Satan. It just sounds so evil. Number 4 off the same album, I've got Get It Hot, just a good party song. I just love the way he says booze. And it's the way Vince Neil says Hollywood, like Hollywood. The way Bond says booze, I just love that. There's a great line. No one's playing Manilow. No one's playing Hard to Get. No one's playing Soul. Just playing good old rock and roll. Number 3, I've got If You Want Blood off Highway to Hell. Just another great headbanging sort of song. 2, I've got Up to My Neck in You off Power Age. Just an infectious song. Just a solo. I want to go and listen to it now. Put it on and start jumping around the room. And my number 1, it's a bit different. We were talking about it off air earlier, off Power Age. But it wasn't on the Australian version. It was the European Cold-Hearted Man. I picked it up later when they put out one of CD of the rarities. Like, this is just amazing. Just love his voice, sort of sound of it, the storytelling. It's very menacing. Just love it. Yeah, it's a bit different, but yeah, that's my number 1.
Cool. Now, you mentioned that to me in an email once, and I did listen to the song, but I probably didn't listen. I probably was listening to it at work. Easy. I didn't really give it a good listen, I don't think, too much. So I'll have to do that, and I'll have to look up that other song. And yeah, and I forgot about Jailbreak. I guess it's not on it's on a mini or an EP that they released, whatever, Jailbreak. It was just an EP, at least for us, it was an EP.
Oh, okay. Oh, for us, it was on the Dirty Deeds album, but yeah, it might be different.
It was? Oh, okay. Yeah, it was on, there was only 5 songs. It had Baby Please Don't Go, a cover of Chuck Berry, I think. And a few other songs that I should have had the record in my hands here so I could read them off, but it doesn't matter. But it was on it was an EP. It wasn't on one of the regular studio albums, so I forgot it when I made my list. But yeah, I do that song too, Jailbreak. So anyway, there we go. So AC/DC, if there's AC/DC fans out there, we'd love to hear your top Bon Scott songs or top Brian Johnson songs, whatever. but there's so much to choose from and whatever, but
yeah, it's like I always hear your shows and when you give your top tens and you'll say, oh, but if I do it on another day, it'll be different. It's just really hard to, for a band that you really love, that you've just grown up with, it's like your number one band. It's just hard to nail it down to.
Yeah, it is. And like those, like I said, I'm a big Bon Scott one and I listened to those albums so much when I was younger and just getting into heavy music, and I still go back and listen to them now. But yeah, you mentioned songs and it's Get It Hot. I go, yeah, that could have been in my list too. Or obviously I love Highway to Hell and stuff. For me, I guess on my list, I leave off the big hits maybe just because I've probably heard them so much. Like You Shook Me All Night Long, which I would have heard so much. So I might leave it off the list because I go on for deeper cuts, I guess you could say, when I'm making up my list sometimes, because I usually, those are my favorite songs. But anyway, so there we go. Yeah. So give us your lists or AC/DC things. And I'm sure we'll do another. I know I have another writer that would like to do Let There Be Rock with me sometime. So we'll do another episode, I'm sure. And who knows, we'll probably do a Brian Johnson album at some point too. But okay. So thanks, Paul, for joining me.
Sorry, mate. I just wanted to quickly mention, as I said, like when we were growing up, yeah, you heard about stuff by friends at school or whatever. Now, you know, you can get on the internet, YouTube, and hear other things. And you go down the rabbit hole and there's a few bands that you listen to and go, they sound really like AC/DC. And obviously the main one everyone says, Crocus, Long Stick Goes Boom. But then there's a Spanish band called 77 that really sounds like Bon, and there's songs like High Decibels, Maximum Rock and Roll, Down and Dirty. So they even take similar sort of. So that's when another Swedish band called Bullet, there's a song called Bite the Bullet, just sounds like Brian when you hear it. Another German band, Hardbone, sounds a bit like Brian Johnson. Yeah, This Is Rock and Roll Rebel, Bad Boy. And then another funny one, it's a different sort of style of music, but Cinderella. First time I heard the song Shake Me. Yeah. First time I heard that at a party, I thought, is this AC/DC? And found out, no, it's actually Cinderella. They were actually of that genre of bands. So I actually don't mind them. But there's probably heaps more you can.
Yeah, I'm sure they influenced lots of bands. And I'm sure there's bands that, like those ones you mentioned and we mentioned before, Airborne, sounds like AC/DC, but I have no problem with it. It's a tribute.
Exactly.
And you mentioned Crocus there. And I don't know if I mentioned this on an episode recently or if I was just talking to somebody, but Long Stick Goes Boom. Because I'll have my phone on a playlist just with a bunch of songs and that song come on and I'll think, AC/DC's on. I mean, this isn't AC/DC. This is Crocus.
Yes.
That's really the only song that I think about of Crocus that they sound like AC/DC, but that one does sound like AC/DC.
The singer, Mark Storris, I think his name is, he was going to audition, but he said when Bon passed, he was going to be Brian, but he said, no, I've got Crocus up and running. And probably a good thing we ended up getting two good bands instead of one.
Yeah, I don't know if he regrets it at all or not, because Crocus, I think they're still going, or at least, I think I saw Crocus a few years ago in Spain. I think I did mention this on the lot. You might not have listened to that episode yet. But I think on the last, we did Twisted Sister, me and a guy, and I think we brought up Crocus on that.
Oh, okay.
I think I mentioned that. Anyway, again, okay, so I better end this episode. So thanks, Paul. Do you have anything you want to add here before you go?
No, thanks, Blake. It's been really good fun. Thanks for inviting me on the show. And I hope that, as I said, Power Age is not one of the main albums or some of the main songs, but I hope that people like it can go and check it out and you'll love it. As I used to say on that show, it's all about earlier countdown. Do yourself a favor and check it out.
Yes, thank you. And I'm sure maybe there's people that just got on to AC/DC with Brian Johnson. Make sure you check out the Bon Scott albums, but I'm sure you already have. I'm sure most people that listen to this episode probably see the word AC/DC and they're already fans. So tell us what you think of the album Power Age. So thanks, Paul, again, and thanks, everybody, for listening, and we will talk to you again next week.
Cheers, mate.